Hello World. We're back after a year and a half. TJSlideways.com goes live from the Engine Pro Studios here in Wyoming, Michigan, and it's good to be back. Now, you might wonder what this is or what we're doing. For about a year, we had the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular. We did that for a couple of years live on Tuesdays. We're now doing TJSlideways.com live every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. This is the first edition of that show, and we are extremely rusty, and we hope that we aren't too terrible tonight, but we hope you're also entertained. We're, of course, here live in the Engine Pro Studios in Wyoming, Michigan, and all of our guests tonight are appearing on the Rocket Headers Hotline. Tonight's guest lineup includes Rex Lejeune from Attica Raceway Park. We had hoped to talk to Rex at some point about the season opener. That promptly got canceled today. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also on the program, Bill Tyler. We're going to talk to Bill about his upcoming visit to South Africa. He's going to be going with a group of four drivers, including his brother Brian Tyler and a couple of other drivers. They're going to be going over to South Africa to take on their drivers in a four-race series. So this happens every few years. They've made trips over before, but an American tour of South Africa again. So Rex Lejeune and Bill Tyler on the docket tonight. And if you have any questions for our guest tonight, you can ask them on our Facebook fan page. Go ahead and feel free to use that. Ask the questions on Facebook. The Twitter handle is at TJ Slideways. Also, TJ at TJSlideways.com will get your question into the email inbox. But the first order of business to kind of catch everyone up on the racing news from around the world. The latest dirt from all around the country. Let's go ahead and see what's been going on. Of course, we have to lead off with the tragic events that took place Saturday at Marysville Raceway Park. Two people died in the pit area after a sprint car driven by Chase Johnson went into the pit area and struck his 14-year-old cousin, Marcus Joseph Johnson, and 68-year-old Dale Wondergem. The accident is still being investigated, and of course, all of our thoughts and prayers are with everyone over there at Marysville. Tulare Thunderbolt Raceway had the World of Outlaws for two nights, and of course that first night, Cowboy Up. Both nights were live on Dirt Vision. If you happen to catch it in person or on the pay-per-view, it was a wild affair. And Tim Kading took the feature win over Cody Dara and Jack Honschild on night number one. Night two, contrasted track taking rubber, and Craig Delansky picked up his first feature win of the season over Jonathan Howard. Howard trying to get Maury Williams that World of Outlaw win. Maury Williams, second top three finish for that team this year with the Outlaws, still falling short of the victory, and Darren Pittman following them across the line. Pittman still leading the World of Outlaw point standings right now by 83 points over Joey Saldana, Paul McMahon, Craig Delansky, and Donnie Schatz rounding out the top five. And of course, one of the best stories out of Tulare this weekend was Ryan Bernal. After he spun out leading at Las Vegas, he came back, bouncing back at Tulare, winning both USAC West Coast 360 sprint car features. So that was kind of a neat deal. And also, the big paycheck going to Ian Madsen for winning the Scott Darley Classic at Cindy Speedway, picking up the $50,000 bonus, winning both features on Friday and Saturday, coming from the back. Four wins so far this year for Madsen. Of course, fans in the U.S. are going to be able to see him at Knoxville Raceway for the 2013 season. Central Pennsylvania, of course, a couple weeks ago we saw the pictures of Lincoln Speedway racing in the snow and such. No such luck this week. Everything in Pennsylvania rained out, including Hagerstown, who's trying to get in a race that was scheduled from last October. So they're going to try again next Sunday. And, of course, a little bit of news that came out on Monday, slipped on Twitter, hasn't gotten much pub yet. That Fremont Speedway's late season World of Outlaw date has been shifted from Friday night to Saturday night. Now, originally we were hearing that date might go to a Michigan Speedway, but now it looks like Fremont going to have a Saturday night World of Outlaws show late in the season. The point championship will be coming down to the wire at that point. So what a grab for Rich Farmer and his crew. And that will conclude
the latest dirt.
So that's the latest dirt. All of the open wheel news taking place in the area. So, and also we have Rex Lejeune coming up and Bill Tyler. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have our first guest of the night, Rex Lejeune from Attica Raceway Park. You're listening to TJSlideways.com live. Of course, don't forget all of the questions can be delivered via Facebook, Twitter. Make sure to interact with us tonight, and we will be right back.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartz.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartz.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSlideways.com live, our first show of the 2013 season, and already we're having trouble getting hold of the guests, so hopefully this is not a sign to come. As if you remember back to the Open Wheel Spectacular days, occasionally we'd have moments. I remember one that was quite humorous, where we were trying to get a hold of Jesse Hockett, the late Jesse Hockett, through an entire show. We eventually paid his voicemail greeting. He didn't have his number or anything, and we played his voicemail greeting because that was about as close as we could get to Hockett being on the line, as Bill W. told me once. He wasn't a details guy. Yeah, any kind of unfortunately, we missed out on that opportunity to have him on, but we got a kick out of that a couple years ago when that happened. But it'll give us a chance to talk about something, a new feature we have here on the TJSideways.com Live. This is our Obscure Race of the Week. We're going to feature our different event all summer from obscure corners of the United States and whatnot, and we're going to figure out give the results of that race. And this week's Obscure Race of the Week goes to Baton Rouge Raceway. Saturday night they had sprint cars there. Ty Johnson picking up the feature winner over Blake Jennings, Butch Davis, Brandon Thornhill, Blake Carrier rounded out the top five. Just for a note, Baton Rouge Raceway does have about 7 to 8 sprint car races planned, non-sanctioned at the racetrack this season. So huge thank you to Jim Harris for finding that one, because that one had slipped through the cracks. We didn't find that one at all during our weekend event list or whatnot. In fact, he emailed me to it today. It was like, wow, where did that one kind of come from? So at this point, we're just waiting on Rex Lejeune and Bill Tyler to join us later in the show. So we're just kind of moving some stuff around and going towards the end of the show. Well, we touched earlier at the start of the show about the Marysville situation. And, of course, all of our thoughts and prayers going out to them at a very tough week here in the sprint car community, as I've been proud to see everyone kind of rallying around Marysville. They've been a very responsive track to us. They've always gotten the results and their information to us in what I would consider a timely fashion, and have always been good to work with. And it's sad to see something like that happen. And of course, all the families involved sound like great people as well. It's just a good reminder, though, to all race fans. And I was not at Marysville. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if it would help or not or anything. I don't know who was there or what and how it all went down exactly, without speculating. But it's just a good reminder to always kind of look up and be aware of your surroundings. I know my father taking me to the racetrack always made sure that I knew that the racetrack, it's not that it's not a safe place, but it's a place where you have to be very aware. It's similar to when you sit up, like at glass level at a hockey game. You have to keep your eyes open. Just don't turn your back. So often you see people turning their back to openings in the racetrack and whatnot, and maybe just not paying attention to what's going on. And I know I'm as guilty as anyone. I've stood in places that I should probably never have stood in my right mind ever. And I know if you've gone to the races long enough, we've all done it. You know, don't pretend you haven't, because we have. And, you know, this is kind of maybe the situation between Marysville and Daytona is a good chance for all of us to just take a look and just kind of be a little more aware, be aware of our surroundings, and just be careful, because we don't really need any more stories like this. And sometimes, you know, even the best laid plans, it's no guarantee that something isn't going to happen. I mean, you know, and your time's up. And, you can make every contingency plan in the world for that, and it's not going to help necessarily. But we can all do, I think, a little bit better in maybe being aware of our surroundings and just in general paying attention to what's going on. So we're going to take another quick break, try to get Rex Lejeune on the line, and also Bill Tyler. It's going to be interesting. Bill, going over to South Africa, he's got a very interesting background. I believe he's the only guy that's ever won a Tri-Sac championship, a Sprints on Dirt championship, and an Auto Value Super Sprints championship. And he's also one of the drivers that got to drive Silver Crown cars against the Indy cars at Pocono. So we'll touch on that a little bit as well. So we're going to take another quick break, but we'll be right back here on TJSideways.com Live in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts.
stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open-wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSideways.com Live, and we got our first guest on the line tonight. He is a lifelong race fan that has got a start in the business, pretty much waving the flags at a lot of racetracks. He's the flagman, eventually the first flagman at Attica Raceway Park, and eventually went on to help guide the World of Outlaws Gum Out Series, the All-Star Circuit of Champions as competition director, eventually worked his way into the director of operations at Attica Raceway Park, and they're getting ready to celebrate their 25th season of racing. It's hard to believe, Rex Lejeune, that 25 years ago, Attica was the upstart Friday night playground for the Northern Ohio sprint car scene, and man, it's been quite a ride.
Yes, it has. It's been a, you know, you look back and it's been a great ride so far. The first 25 seasons, our first 24 years, and like you say, a lot of good things have happened at Attica Raceway Park, and like you say, we're just looking for a big 25th anniversary season, which we're going to kick off this Friday, but looks like we're going to have to move it back a week.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but Mother Nature not playing real nice right now, and but for the benefit of the fans, the competitors, and everyone, the weather does not look hospitable at all for the next week, and you guys wisely decided to pull the plug this early.
Yeah, well, we had to make a decision, you know, basically today because we had a lot of advertising going in, you know, the radio and TV and newspapers tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. And like you say, you know, we just looked at the overall forecast for the week, and it's not very good at all. And like I say, so we decided to, you know, move everything back a week, and we'll kick it off on Easter weekend on Friday and Saturday with the traditional 22nd annual HD Supply Spring Nationals with the All-Star Sprint. So, I see we only had one shot this weekend just on a Friday night, so we didn't have a rain date for Saturday, which I wouldn't help anyway this week. But looking at last year, you know, I had shorts on at the Moss Shows, you know, in the last couple of weeks last year, and I mowed my yard on March 26th. But, you know, this year's a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's go on to something a little more positive. Let's go back 25 seasons ago. How were you approached to be first involved with Attica Raceway Park?
Well, actually, a year or two before that, Eric Phillips, the promoter that was going to run Attica Raceway Park, along with Larry and Mark Keegan, approached myself and my brother, who was an announcer around these areas, and my sister-in-law, Deb, was a scorer. And we all worked together at Fremont Speedway, and they, you know, kind of knew us from them days a few years earlier than that, and they wanted to know if we'd want to go to work on Friday nights at Attica, and we talked to them, and they had a real good plan laid out, and like I say, you know, we were excited about it, you know, starting with something new, and like I say, you know, we started there when it first opened in May of 1988, and they say, you know, it was just a great time back then, and you know, Attica kind of grew really quick, and we, you know, ran quick shows, and it was the, you know, the birth of the 305, well, back then, the Econo Sprint division back then. And like I say, it was a lot of good things happened at that time, at Attica Raceway Park, and we were just glad to be a part of it at the beginning.
Now, you know, were you surprised back then that Attica got its reputation so quickly? Like, it seemed to gain a lot of notoriety very fast.
Well, yes and no. You know, like I say, you know, Eric and his group had a plan, and, you know, my brother, myself, and my sister-in-law, we've been to a lot of racetracks and worked at a lot of different tracks, and, you know, we kind of, you know, took the good things, you know, at all the racetracks that we kind of worked at and were able to watch races at and try to put a plan together. And they say with the, you know, when you have, you know, good cooperation and good leadership at the top and everybody works together, you know, a lot of good things can happen. And, like you say, you know, we just, you know, we're able to, you know, to start our races on time, which was a big key. And like I say, you know, a lot of things have changed, you know, from then on. But back then, you know, a lot of racetracks, you know, they, you know, we're just having races. They weren't really serious about it. And, you know, we came in, we're serious about it and been to a lot of places and traveled where they only started late and you get out late. And we just didn't want to have any of that. And like you say, you know, we kind of started on time and ran a good, quick show along with the help of like Rob and the toll in the pit area. Got the, you know, every race out right after the other one. And it was just a great group to work with. And, they say we started out with a lot of good things. You know, we're talking, you know, in the late 80s and back then a lot of tracks, you know, didn't even have a pace car or radio communications back then. And we were able to start out with that. And it kind of helped us, you know, put on quick shows, you know, and, I say a lot, you know, after that, a lot of other racetracks, you know, got pace cars and radios and so forth. But, like I say, it's just, you know, some things that we learned, you know, observing other racetracks, and we're able to put a plan together and you know, make it work.
Now, of course, you eventually left Attica and you went on and you did some more traveling with the Gum Out Series and you did some traveling with the All-Stars. How did you get asked to come back into this role at Attica?
Well, actually, the last couple of years before we took over Attica in 2004 and 2005, I was working with Joe Darmaval with the Mass Mid-American Sprint Series. At that time, I owned my own business and here in Fremont, and you know, didn't do a lot of traveling to a couple years off that. But with Joe's series, you know, we ran like a dozen or so shows in Ohio and Indiana and a few in Michigan, and they were close on weekends, and was able to stay involved in that and kind of, you know, be his race director for those couple years. And after the 2005 season, the Attica Fair Association and current promoter then, Janet Holbrook, had some disagreements, and they let Janet out of her contract, and the racetrack was basically, you know, up for grabs. And at that time, John Boers was driving a late model along with his son Mike, and he had owned Chad Kemena's car for about 10 years going into that season or so, 9 or 10. And they had asked him, he's got a successful business here in the area, if he was interested in taking the racetrack over. And if he didn't do it, I don't know if anybody else would have stepped up to do it. But towards the end of the 2005 year, I contacted John myself, never met him before, and sat down with him and kind of, you know, told him my, you know, background. And, you know, like I say, he was, you know, real busy with his business and didn't have a lot of time to devote to the racing scene, but he was, you know, interested in doing it and wanted the Attica, you know, keep going and you know, even make it even better than it was before. And like I say, we just kind of, you know, sat down and put our heads together and come up with a pretty good team. And at that time, I was trying to sell my business, and everything just fell into place in January of 2006. He took over the racetrack, and I sold my business about the same time and went to work for him at the racetrack. And we've been doing it ever since.
And here we are, and we've known each other for a long time. And I think personally, you guys do a great job over there. And it, you know, I was looking over the schedule, and you guys definitely have a jam-packed schedule for that 25th anniversary season. You got a lot of new things coming in, a nice variety of races. But one race in particular, since we're on the theme, the 25th anniversary event. On May 17th, double 410 sprint car features and non-front wing 305s, which is the way the Econo sprint division started. What other retro things might we see that night?
I lost every second to you. What did you say?
Yeah, what kind of throwback things might we see on anniversary night?
Well, like I say, you know, we're going to, you know, start things off. I talked to Eric Phillips, who passed away a few years ago, so I talked to his wife and his family, and asked them that they, you know, if we could do it first of all with their permission, and you know, she gladly said yes, and they're all planning on coming to the race. That's going to be kind of neat, and we're hoping to have a lot of the other promoters come back and some past champions, and you know, a lot of the past workers and so forth. Hopefully, they'll show up that night. And like you say, on May 17th, we're going to try to keep the 25 theme with the 25th anniversary, like you say, with twin 25 lap 410 features, paying $2,500 to win, $250 to start each. Along with our UMP late models, and like you said, our 305 sprints, which will take the front wings off that night because that's the way they started back in 1988 with no front wings. It's a little way to, you know, tell the difference in the cars, just to kind of, you know, change things up a little bit. And we don't know exactly what all we're going to do that night, how we're going to do the format. Kind of had a plan, but different fans and racers have been kind of suggesting some things. Some of them sound pretty neat, so. We don't have to announce anything yet, but like you say, we'll, you know, take some consideration what they're thinking about for different formats for the features, and put something together and get something released here after we get going into the season a little bit. But like you say, we'll just kind of see what happens that night. We have a nice Jumbotron message center in the infield, and we're going to utilize that, and you know, throughout the season, you know, especially on that night, run some pictures of the past and so forth like that. And by then, we'll have our new 2013 edition of our 25th anniversary program will be there with a lot of old pictures in it and a color section in the middle. So a lot of other things. And like I say, we'll just keep working on that as the days go by here, and keep, building upon that for that race on May 17th.
I'll put my suggestion in for backstretch restarts, and I think that you should flag the second 25 lapper personally. But that's just me. So, but
I never thought of that. But I'll put that in the back of my mind. You never know. We'll kind of see what happens on that. But that'd be kind of fun to do. You know, like you say, that'd be kind of fun to do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, by the end of the night, that's the end of the night. So you know, they won't be bothering. You won't have quite as much on your plate then, and maybe we can get you up in the stand again. Also, I noticed you're going to have a Lucas Oil Late Model Series event. We're primarily a sprint car program, but I noticed that kind of caught my eye, and they're paired up with the All Stars on Labor Day. That should be quite a show for everybody.
Yeah, we traditionally, you know, end on that Saturday of Labor Day weekend with the All-Star sprints and on our Attica ambush. And John's, you know, he's a late model guy. You know, he likes sprint cars, but you know, he drives a late model, and we've been trying to build our late model program up as one of the only tracks in the country to run, you know, 410 sprints along with the UMP late models on the same weekly program. And that's enhanced our program for our weekly show you know, a lot here in the last 3 or 4 years. And we've, you know, had the Hell Tour with the UMP Late Model Summer Nationals the last 3 or 4 seasons. And, car counts have been great on that. And the crowds are getting better every year. And, you know, we've been wanting to run a Lucas Oil race for the last few years and just trying to work something out on the schedule. And we were able to put this together here, late last year. And, like you say, the date that came up was on Friday of Labor Day weekend. And they say we already had a race scheduled on Saturday. We didn't want to change that. So, you know, we had the All-Stars coming in. We thought it'd be kind of a neat, program to, you know, book our 410 sprints, you know, with the All-Stars together with the Lucas Oil Late Model. So, you know, both groups of fans can see what the other division can do. And like you say, we all know what the sprint cars can do. And we're hoping a lot of the sprint car fans can see what, you know, our late models do. And like I say, we did it a few years ago with, another sanctioned group. I can't remember what it was now, but the 410 racers, and they said they liked watching the late models and vice versa. And I think that night the late models, we had like 54 late models, and the leaders were putting on a heck of a battle. And I think the The guy on the outside, there were three abreast, and the guy on the outside was in the middle of the racetrack. So that just tells you how close they were running. And, you know, the guy on the inside was just banging off the tires. But they did a great job. And like you say, you know, we're hoping that our sprint car fans can see, you know, some great late model racing that night and vice versa. And then they can, you know, camp and stay around and then see another complete show with the sprints on Saturday night.
And, of course, you have in the middle of the summer your World of Outlaw program kind of kicks off summer. That'll be a big program for you at the end of May, and then Ohio Sprint Speed Week. You guys get things started with that in June.
Yeah, like you say, you know, we just keep naming them, and like you say, you know, at least one a month. We have, you know, a big event scheduled, you know, a special, you know, once a month there, like you say, the end of May. Well, May 31st is our World of Outlaw Sprint Race, and we got rained out last year, but 2 years ago, we put up some nice bonus money for our weekly racers that they could, you know, be in our top 25 in points. They get an extra $2,500 if they beat the Outlaws, and some other things we have going on that night on Kiss for Engines night. And like you say, 2 years ago we had the highest car count that the Outlaws had in the country for a single standalone show. I think we had 57 sprints. So like you say, it was a great turnout that night, and we get through that one. And like you say, in June, and we kick off the Ohio Sprint Speed Week on Friday, June 21st, and that goes like 8 out of 9 nights here in Ohio, and it's a great week. And I already had calls from fans in Minnesota that never been this way, and they're planning their vacation and want to know where to camp at and other things to do on that week. And those gentlemen, you know, if they come to Attica and then they, you know, hit Eldora Waynesfield on their way to Wayne County, stop at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, and on Wednesday there's a day off, maybe they can hit Cedar Point. So we have a lot of things in the area to do, and like I said, it was kind of neat talking to somebody from Minnesota who's never been this way, and they're planning on coming.
Well, that's awesome. I always like seeing new fans get turned on to Attica. Now to the more immediate task at hand, the HD Supply Spring Nationals. Of course, the past couple of years, you've run all three divisions both nights, so the fans not only get the All-Stars, but they get your UMP late models, and you get 305 sprint cars each night. And I always tell the fans, you know, the All-Stars probably a great show there, but don't forget to hang around for that 305 feature, or if it runs before the All-Star race, make sure to stick up in the stands. Don't be caught in the concession line, because your 305 sprints put on one heck of a show.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like you say, you know, every year, you know, that division was started 25 years ago, and it bears the fruit that, you know, a lot of our great, you know, 410 drivers have started in that series, and, you know, it's continuing this year as we get ready to kick off the season. Young lady Paige Poliak, who picked up her first female, was her first win last year at Attica Raceway Park. She's moving up to the 410 sprints, and along with past champion a couple years ago, DJ Foose, he's in the Gensden Racing 53 this year. So a couple drivers right there moving up to the 410s, along with Caleb Griffith is going back in the 410s with the Davis Brothers car, ran real strong last year before he got injured in the 305. So, like you say, they're moving up, so that just makes more room for some good upcoming young drivers in the 305s to contend with, you know, the Nate Dussels and the John Ivies and the Paul Weavers of the world. But they say, you know, we got a couple of 15-year-old kids coming this year in the 305s already that I talked to at the Mall Show. So, like you say, you know, like I say, we're you know, pretty excited about all the divisions, and like you say, you know, we're looking forward to, you know, good car counts and like I say, a good mixture of veterans and young kids coming up in all the divisions. So, like I say, you know, the late models put on a great show, and along with the 305s, and like I say, we, you know, our three weekly divisions that we have, you know, they could be, you know, headline divisions at a lot of racetracks, you know, not bragging or anything, but, you know, we're just, you know, we feel that strong about, you know, all our divisions and how good the racers are in our area.
Yeah, and you can go ahead and brag. They're just that good. So I would second that motion. One kind of thing I wanted to talk to you about 410 racing in general, it just seems like to me, look from the outside looking in, when I talk to you and I talk to Rich over at Fremont, and I even talk to people at Knoxville Eldora, it seems like to me, even like the promoters and the series and all the 410 racing people are getting along better than maybe they were 10, 15 years ago, and are working. Like you see where you guys have a 360 shootout when the Outlaws are at Eldora and stuff, and you guys are working harder to maybe promote the division as a group. Is that, you think that's a fair statement, or is that just maybe it was more of an oversight of the past that I didn't notice?
No, I think it is. And like you say, you know, everybody, you know, is trying to work together to, you know, to work their schedule so, you know, other tracks can have a good car count and fan count when they bring their big shows in. And like I say, I don't know if we help Eldora by doing that, but like I say, we want to cooperate with them as much as we can and help them get fans and race cars to their racetrack. And like I say, you know, And we have other racers and other divisions that we can run. So like you say, it gives our 410 drivers maybe a break that don't go there, or some that want to go there, they get the chance to run there. And like you say, you know, it's worked out pretty good here the last 3 or 4 years, and, you know, have a good relationship with Brian and John out at Knoxville, and with Steve Sinclair with the IRA series, and with the Williams Grove group and Alan over at Lincoln in Pennsylvania. And we have a nice meeting that the Outlaws and the All-Stars put on there in July. We have a summit that we all get together and talk, and like you say, just got to know the people more. And like you say, even like Steve Beitler out in Washington, you know, become real good friends with him, you know, at these meetings. And you know, like I say, you know, we all kind of, you know, kick ideas around, and they say, you know, we learn a lot from them guys, and hopefully we can, you know, share stuff with them that they can learn. And like you say, you know, they're not afraid to, you know, to help us out, and you know, we certainly want to help them out. And they say, we still want to do something with Knoxville. We're trying to work on something, trying to come up with a plan to a couple of different weekends along with IRA to, you know, get their cars to come our way and maybe stop, you know, on an IRA show or something on the way back and have our cars go out to Knoxville for a weekend or towards the Nationals or something. We're still trying to work on that. We haven't been able to put things together, but like I say, it seems like we're getting a little bit closer all the time. And like I say, we sure would like to do that because like, see their cars come this way and have the fans see their, you know, Terry McCarl and some of their racers race and have our racers go out to, you know, Knoxville or somewhere on the way and put on a show for the fans. So they say we're trying to do that, and hopefully we can, you know, move forward on that and get some more interest in that.
And one more thing, I'd be remiss if we had this conversation and we didn't talk about the Fremont Attica Sprint title. What has that fan-driven group brought to the table for your two speedways? Are you surprised at the success of that?
Oh, well, yes and no, but I'm not surprised because the guys that headed up, you know, they're great race fans, and like you say, they're dedicated to it, and like you say, you know, they do a great job, you know, hustling and going out and getting all this extra, you know, bonus money and the contingencies for the racers. And like you say, it's kind of neat that our two tracks can do that. And they say, you know, it's basically like Mike Linder's always said, it's free money. You know, they don't have to do anything more for it. Just, you know, come to both racetracks, which, you know, normally they do anyway, and, you know, run for some extra money. And like you say, you know, this year it's an 18 race schedule. I think there's, eight or nine, you know, weekends with a couple of singles here and there. And like you say, that's what we kind of wanted to do is have double weekends where if any racers want to come in and race, they got a chance to race both, you know, both nights. And like I say, keep our racers close to home and give them some extra money to run for. And I think it sure has helped, you know, create interest and then keep the car counts going. And like I say, they do a great job with that. And I believe it's in the fifth season of that already. So like you say, we're looking forward to that. And like I say, just, you know, just adds more to our weekly programs.
Well, I know I'm appreciative of what you do at Rex there at Attica with all your crew. If fans are interested in more information, where can they find it? And I know you have reserved tickets for your Outlaw show. What other tickets can people purchase ahead of time?
Basically, the only one we sell any advance reserved seating for is our Outlaw show on May 31st, and all the information is on our website with seating charts and so forth. They say they can order by phone with a credit card, and all the other races, the tickets, general admission, you know, they go on sale the day of the race. And like you say, you know, we have a great staff, and like I say, any information they need about Attica is on our website. They just, you know, can take a look at it. It's one of the nicest websites around. Scott does a great job with that. And if they want to check out, give us another, a few days or a week or so, we'll have a good Facebook thing up and running. Andrew, our flagman, is going to take that over and kind of run with that a little bit. Someone had it going, but they didn't keep it up very good. So Andrew's going to take that over and kind of do that a little bit more. And we have, you know, a nice Twitter account that, you know, Scott updates that all the time, especially on race day when things are going on with weather, that they want to sign up for our Twitter account. They just go to our website and they can sign up and receive, you know, quick messages on their phone on what's happening, updates on weather and, you know, what we're doing and stuff like that. So, like I say, our website's a great tool. And, like I say, it covers anything that you need to know about Attica, from, you know, pictures to, you know, past results and directions. The motels are listed on there with racers' rates and anything you need to check out there. And all the phone numbers are listed. If you have any more questions, you know, give us a call, and we'll be glad to help anybody out.
And there's a good chance you might even get Rex picking up the phone. He's a very hands-on guy. Well, Rex Lejeune, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to coming out to your place next weekend and enjoying some All-Star racing.
Okay. TJ. Thanks a lot for having us on.
All right, no problem. That's Rex LeJoux from Attica Raceway Park. When we come back, we're going to have Bill Tyler, and then we're going to close out the show. You're listening to TJSideways.com Live.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oschwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunder Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OschweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSideways.com Live here from the Engine Pro Studios in Wyoming, Michigan. And our next guest is has been racing for nearly four decades, and he's about ready to make his third trip to, yes, South Africa to do some sprint car racing. We are proud to welcome Bill Tyler to the show. Bill, thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to get on here and maybe enlighten some people about the fun we have in Africa.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. First of all, let's go back. How did a lot of the Michigan racers have become friends with the South African sprint car racers. How did that relationship start?
Well, it started originally some of the South Africans come to the Midwest, and they got word that we had some cars up here, and I think George Gustafson was one of the first ones that got to know a couple of guys. He had some cars for sale, and they
stopped in and said they were looking for some cars for South Africa. And got acquainted with them and helped them find some equipment and take it back, and that kind of started the whole trend.
And
they'd come over here part of the time buying cars, and then they started having some of us come over there. So.
And when they first came to you and said, hey, some people from South Africa want to buy some sprint cars, what was your reaction?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I said, they actually race sprint cars over there? And they said, well, yeah, they've been there for years, but they had a lot of older cars, and it hadn't been a big thing. It had been just a real small club that run once in a great while, and they were trying to get it together to start doing more of it at that time. That was in probably the mid-90s, probably.
Yeah, I remember the first time I met like Quentin Sayman and some of those guys when they came over and ran. And then eventually it worked out a deal where you guys started to go over there and race. And what is it like to go over to race at South Africa? I mean, that's the best question I could come up with is, what is it like to go over there and race?
Well, it's kind of neat. They're catching up more and more. They're buying newer cars and better cars and everything. And the first couple times, well, some of our cars, actually, that we'd run like in the 90s, I went over there about 2000 the first time. Well, some of our early 90 cars were some of the cars they had over there. So when you got there, you kind of recognized some of the cars. We'd actually had them here. And most of their tracks are on their asphalt side. They're pretty much quarter miles. Most of it's pretty flat, too. They don't really have any super speedways or any high bank speedways like we have here. So they're actually mostly dirt cars, which work real well on the pavement for them, and now they're actually starting to run some of the dirt tracks over there.
I was gonna ask, primarily what I've seen is dirt racing over there. Pavement racing, do they have any dirt racing there?
Yeah, they do. Down towards the Cape and southern South Africa, they actually got a few dirt tracks that are running now, and they've been running the sprint cars there more and more. I guess they've been running midgets there quite a bit, too.
That's really interesting. Now, you're going to be making four stops on your tour. What tracks are you guys going to while you're over there?
Well, they got a list of them. I can't tell you the names of them right now. I can't pronounce half of them. but they're going to be around the Johannesburg area, all but the one that we go down towards the Cape.
Are they all primarily flat paved tracks, like you've seen some of the photos and stuff? Okay.
Yes, they are. One of them's called The Rock, and if you get on YouTube or one of the race programs, you can see some videos in there, and they actually got some videos of them running over there, some advertisement. They do a lot of drifting there. They also have drag racing all at the same track, and I've never been to that one, but that's one video that they got a couple of days planned there for us.
Cool. Now, what other activities are they going to have you guys doing while you're there for racing? Are you going to be doing any promotional appearances or anything?
Well, we hit a few different places. There is a few malls and a few parts places that they like us to hit to, and they try to get us around a little bit to see different people, and they got a lot of advertisement over there, and they always try to put on a great show when we come. They actually have some monster trucks that they've made in South Africa, and they even had some Corvettes and stuff, and they make kind of a big parade out of it and bring it around, talk to everybody and stuff before they start the races. And they're planning on getting us to a couple game reserves. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
You got a little hunting in on your thing. I guarantee it's going to be a little different than hunting in Jackson. That's going to be pretty neat. Now, this time your brother is going over there, Brian Tyler, the defending Little 500 champion. Have you given him any advice about going over there, and how much is he looking forward to this?
Well, I've told him several times. I mean, we've sat and talked about the trip, and I tell him the stuff we've done and had all that, and he always kept saying, well, man, that sounds like fun. That sounds like fun. So when they got together this time and wanted to get some guys, they said, well, you'd be interested in that? And he said, well, yeah, count me in. He said, I'd like to try that. So he's kind of excited about it. Him and Jim Swain and Kevin Feeney are all going to the drivers, and none of them have been before. I'm the only one that's been there, so they're all looking forward to it and relying on me to guide them and tell them what's going on.
That's going to be cool. And it's been a while since, you and Brian have raced a couple times the past couple years. Brian's made a couple infrequent winged pavement sprint car starts. You guys haven't raced against each other regularly in quite a while. So that'll be pretty neat as well to see you guys racing against each other again.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We got to once this summer, and that was the first time we'd run together in a long time. So that'll be kind of fun to get out there, as long as we don't try to get too competitive again. And usually you get that brotherly rival going, and we'll be worrying about one another instead of the Africans.
I was going to say, there's one particular night I remember at Owosso Speedway where you two might have put on maybe the greatest sprint car race I've ever seen in my life. And I think you won, even, if I remember right. But between you and Gary and Brian, it was one of the most unreal things I've ever seen. So I've been witness to you two in how competitive that can get.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. In fact, now we're going to try to do some video filming and some stuff and put on the AutoValue webpage. We're going to try to update everybody on what's going on and maybe have some of the, filming over there we're going to try to put out so people can kind of keep track of where we're going, how we're finishing, and a little bit of what's going on.
Well, that's pretty neat, and that's at supersprints.com, so don't forget, fans, you can go to supersprints.com. You'll be able to get that. Hey, Bill, let's take some questions from the audience. Our first question tonight, ironically, comes from Ryan Rule, of all people.
Yeah.
So he wants to know if you prefer dirt or asphalt and why.
I don't have a preference. I miss the dirt because we've kind of got to the asphalt so much now, and we don't have the opportunity to run the dirt, but they both are unique in their own way. I never really could say that I like one or the other that much better. I mean, it just depends on the night and the track and the conditions and whether it's your night or not, I really don't have a favorite, I guess.
Okay. And Dave also wants to ask if you plan on ever running the Little 500 again.
Well, we keep talking about it. I'd like to go back at least one more time. I could have been close a couple times, but never can seem to get in the door there. And Brian's been running so good there that I keep threatening I'm going to have to come down and give him some competition if he's going to keep winning like that. So I don't know. We don't have any plans right now. It just costs so much to do it that it kind of bites most of our year summer budget to go down there for one race and be in the beginning of the year. If you went down there and tore a car up or blowed a motor or stuff, it'd pretty much crimp you for the rest of summer. So that's kind of why we've kind of backed off of it a little bit.
And that's understandable. That is a long week. There's a lot of practice. For fans that don't know, there's a whole week of practice and qualifying that goes into that, and tires are not cheap. So
it's a great race. I love doing a race. I never liked the hype for the qualifying. That was always, you'd have a knot in your stomach for a couple of days for the qualifying part. But once the green waved for the 500 lapper, that was a blast. I love that.
It's one of the coolest things. I always tell people, as a bucket list sprint car race, even if you're not necessarily a pavement sprint car fan, but I tell everyone, you have to go see it at least once, because there's only one Little 500. And I joke, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. There's really no middle ground
sure.
in there. And I'm on the love it side, and I'll be coming back this year as well. Dave also wanted to know, I looked up and I did the math, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong on this. This should be season number 39 or 40 for you?
Yeah, I don't try to keep track of that one too much. I can remember when I used to be the youngster. Now I'm the old guy,
Well, Dave also wanted to know, how much longer are we going to see Bill Tyler behind the wheel?
I don't know. I've threatened to quit here for a couple years, but I'm with a bunch of good guys, and I'm still having a lot of fun, and I feel I'm still kind of competitive, so I really don't know. As long as we keep going like that, it's hard to say. I got both my boys now trying to run mini sprints. So when I'm not running, we're doing that. So that's starting to take a little more of my time and stuff. So we'll have to see where that goes. Maybe it's time for Dad to retire and go on with the boys. I don't know.
How different is it watching your kids than it is like when you're watching Brian when he was younger and such?
Oh, it's kind of the same thing pretty much. It's kind of exciting with the boys. I've watched a lot of races, a lot of kids have been friends with people, but when it's actually your own blood out there, it kind of gets the adrenaline flowing almost like it is when I'm racing myself. So that makes it kind of exciting for me. I don't miss the driving part so much because I'm involved that way, so maybe that would be a way for me to sneak out of it, but I don't think I'm quite ready to retire yet. I'm still having a lot of fun.
Yeah, you don't want to retire and still have the itch and then come back later. You know, just keep on going. I can't blame you there. One thing we touched on earlier in the show, you have quite a bit of Silver Crown experience, and you're one of the drivers that got the drive at Pocono. when USAC was looking for Silver Crown cars to fill an IndyCar field. What was it like to drive that Silver Crown car on that big racetrack?
Well, that was kind of unbelievable. I mean, we'd only been on a mile speedway, and they were dirt at that time. We really didn't run any asphalt. And then take those Silver Crown cars. There was seven or eight of us that day went to Pocono on that 2.5 mile track, plus with the Indy cars. And that was quite an experience. We taped mirrors up in the corner of the roll cages so you could kind of see the Indy cars coming. You could run pretty much with them kind of down the straightaways, but the minute we'd lift, they'd just jet around the corner with their wings and stuff, so we had to kind of be out of the way of them, so it was kind of a 7 or 8 car race at that point. We'd race against one another and watch for them so we could get out of their way.
It's just amazing, you know, you think about today, if you even suggested anything like that, it would just be, you know, the way things are today, people just look at you like you were crazy or something. But you guys did it, and it's just amazing to think that happened. And Crud, there's only like what, 7 or 8 of you that can say you ever did that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was an experience that I'll never forget. I mean, AJ Foyt and Sneva and everybody was there. In fact, Foyt won that race. I think that was one of the last ones he ever won. And they took us out in a van and was showing us around where they wanted us to enter and kind of where they wanted us to run and stuff. And all of a sudden, in the back of this van, boom, a car drives in the back of it, boom again, and off to the side, and here's Foyt hanging out the window. How long? Leave them guys alone. They're race car drivers. They know what to do. And away he goes, you know. It was just kind of fun stuff like that. They accepted the whole program for us and looked out for us and helped us. So that was a lot of fun.
That's a really neat story. I knew we'd get some good stories out of this interview. Bill Tyler joining us on TJSideways.com Live. When are you guys leaving for South Africa? And sometime, is it next week or the week after?
Next week on Tuesday, the 26th, we're going. They want to get us there a day to tinker with the cars. They got some cars for us, but they want us to go over them and get the belt set and do whatever we want to do to them. And then we're going to load them up and actually go about 4 hours south of Johannesburg down towards the Cape, almost to the coast. And that's where we're going to run the first couple nights.
Well, that's pretty cool. And like I said, that's going to be a neat deal for you. And we wish you safe travels and all that. And we'll have to have you and Kevin and everyone back on after you get back so we can tell some stories about your adventure once you get home. And like you said, you're going to be posting videos and stuff. Is Marty, your wife, going with you?
Yeah, she is. She's going to go and try to do some of the posting stuff with her. She's never been either, so she's going to have a chance this time to go and see. We've become friends with several of the people. They come over last fall. One of the families come over here and stayed with us for a week or two, and we're going to go over there now and stay with some of them and stuff. So we've become friends with several people and working back and forth, so that makes it a lot more comfortable. You know who you're dealing with, and then they look out for us when we want to go sightseeing or something. They know where to go and when to go and how to go, and so that makes it really nice that way.
I was going to say that'd make the experience a lot better. Well, we wish you the best of luck there and also this racing season, because I'm assuming you're going to be back on the Auto Value Super Sprint circuit again.
Yeah, we're getting ready again. We're going to try her one more year, see what happens. I'm looking forward to that. I had a lot of fun last year, and we run pretty good, so we're trying to tune up a little and try it again this year.
All right. Well, Bill, I appreciate you taking time out. Like I said, we'll talk to you when we get back from South Africa, and best of luck.
Yeah. Okay, that'll be great fun. Thanks a bunch.
All right, we're going to take one more quick break here on TJSideways.com Live, and then we will close out the show. So stay tuned.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts.
stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Core Pack Sprint Car Series, Thunderstock, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSlideways.com Live. Here we heard from Rex LeJune from Attica Raceway Park, and we also had Bill Tyler on. Wish Bill, Brian, and Jim Swain, and also Kevin Feeney and all their families all the best on their trip to South Africa to go sprint car racing. Not a typo, South Africa. So one question we didn't get to, Scott Lang asked, wanted me to ask Rex what happened to the Buckeye Nationals and what went well, what didn't, and could have never come back. I don't foresee it. I can probably answer a little bit of history, the historical part on this one. It died on the vine because tracks weren't willing to switch the weekend dates and the midweek dates around originally. So that's how that went away. Could it ever come back? I think it could eventually. It's just going to take the right set of circumstances, and a lot of it's fan demand. If the fans want to come see it when down there, it's very fan-driven. If the fans want to see it, it'll come back. If they don't, it won't. And the biggest issue with that coming back is they have such a strong program. I was surprised to see that Lucas Oil Day actually at Attica, and also Modifieds with the Hell Tour earlier than that. Those are both on Attica's dockets. I didn't expect to see those when the schedule came out. They have such a strong program there, but it's nice to add variety, and they're finding that adding variety to the schedule for them works, and hopefully that continues to work for them. But historically, pre-Rex, pre-everything, that's kind of what was the downfall of the Buckeye Nationals was there were only two weekend dates, and the original plan was the dates were supposed to rotate around, and that didn't happen, and eventually promoters didn't want to do it anymore. So, among other things, that was kind of how that came about. So, we've gotten through show one. The levels are awful. We're going to work on them, and we still have a little technical glitches, more advertisements to record and stuff. But, hey, we got one under our belt, and we're looking forward to going racing here in a couple weeks at Attica. We are going to the HD Supply Spring Nationals, so Mudclod Bob and I will be down there. We're going to cover all the All-Star action. And then after that, I'm going to be at the Kokomo midget event. So it's the first time I've been to a standalone midget race in years. So it's going to be great to do that. But it is time to hit the road. I want to thank all of our guests, Bill Tyler and Rexa June, for being on tonight, and all of you for listening. So thank you for tuning in. And we are going to be on every Monday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We're going to have another great show leading into that HD Supply Spring Nationals. So thank you very much and have a good evening.